if it's like, I'm just like, hey, it's not a bad afternoon, it's a good afternoon, and you're like, nuh-uh!
Yeah, right, that's what I mean. It's just, it's so easy to just pick everything and anything apart.
Actually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even that's offensive in some ways, right? Because when you say it, if you were to describe it, you'd be like pushing glasses up on your nose, right?
I literally did it.
Exactly.
It's an audio podcast, so you can't see. But I did push up the glasses and then take them off and start, like, polishing the lenses.
Yeah, literally, that's even just, like, you could pull that apart as, wow, that's the representation of that individual, that type of person.
Yep.
This will make more sense, probably, when we talk about...
It will make sense in about 30 minutes. Welcome to the Retro Breakdown. We're finally done with the NES Mega Mans.
This game was awesome.
I know we're not talking about it yet. It was really, really good. We'll talk about it in a bit.
Damn it! Fine, what else are we going to talk about first?
There's something I really, really want to talk about, but I can't because it's work-related, and I don't think I can discuss it yet.
Okay.
But, like...
Awesome.
I did post a, I'm just going to say, I post a no context stream cancellation in Discord on Friday that said, I can't stream today because I need to hang out with my AI girlfriend. I'll explain later. And then I proceeded to not explain later.
Well, later could mean later.
I sort of intended it to mean, like, on the next stream, and I just did not do that at all.
Oh, okay.
And I'm also not going to explain it here, beyond just saying, it's research for work, okay?
Sure, yeah. I mean, whatever, you can get married to your 3DS or whatever.
And Jesse was the one controlling the text, and it was very funny.
Did the AI girlfriend say anything lewd at any point?
So there's actually two different characters, and one of them will say lewd things and one of them won't.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
But yes,
nice.
She did ask if I was lactating.
Well, yeah, that's a normal question.
Yep.
I feel like that's how most first dates go.
Yeah, absolutely. That's totally something that you ask someone who identifies themselves as male within the first 45 minutes of conversation.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It sounds like the AI is programmed perfectly.
Yep. It's good.
To be fair, someone's nodding their head yes right now.
Like, unironically, like, yes, well, of course. What else are you going to talk about?
I mean, let's get to fucking business here. Why do you think I have an AI girlfriend?
Like, yeah, what are we doing here? Do you think I came here for small talk? Oh, no, yeah. That's been really entertaining. In fact, the meeting that I had just before this, that where I said, like, I'm not available until after one, with one of my coworkers for them to, like, try it out with me via proxy because it's only available on PC right now and they have a Mac.
Okay.
So they're like, hey, can we do, like, a screen share? I want to, like, actually see how this thing works so we can, you know, get some research down and make some recommendations, but I can't use it on my computer. And so that's what that was just now, which is why it's, like, sort of top of mind for me.
Makes sense. Sure.
Anyway, I mentioned that Golden Floppy Cow was here last week, and it's only been a couple of days since we recorded that podcast, so not a whole lot new since then. Jesse and I went to another volleyball game, because we do that, like, every week now, because we have tickets, and they won, which was really cool, because we didn't expect to win, because it was, like, the best team, and we've been on a losing streak, and they played really well, and that was really exciting. Well, and then, because it was a Sunday afternoon game, whereas most of them are at, like, 7 p.m. on a weeknight, we were like, let's walk around downtown and find some place to eat, only to find out that downtown Columbus is surprisingly desolate on a Sunday afternoon.
Huh.
Like, there were so many places closing at, like, 5, if they were, in fact, open at all.
I found a lot of places are weird. Closed on Mondays, too.
Yeah.
Maybe people are like, you know what? I want to chill.
Yeah, it's, you know what? there a couple of our favorite restaurants in town close specifically on Monday, and Monday is the day that she goes out and runs a lot of errands. So sometimes when I have time, I'll go out with her and it'll be like, oh, let's go hit up the ramen shop that we haven't been to in a while. We really like that JK. Ramen shop. Nope. Closed on Monday. What about the bubble tea place we like? Closed on Monday. Mm-mm. What about the chicken place? Closed on Monday.
Mm. Get back in there and make food for me.
How dare you take time off when I'm hungry?
I'm hungry.
It's not like there aren't 7,000 other restaurants in town that take time off at different times that I could eat at today. I want this now.
When I want it.
I also felt bad because we skipped our Korean lesson to go to volleyball, but worth it.
And so it begins.
So, you know what's the weird thing about it, actually?
No, I don't.
So, like, we kind of talked about this where you're, like, earlier on, I was like, oh, I'm starting to take Korean classes. And you're like, oh, cool, you paid money to sign up for that.
No, so, I was just joking because you were talking about how you had homework to do.
Right, because it sounds
that context adds a little bit more than me just making fun of you for signing up for language classes. Because that's not what I was doing.
No, but like I understood what you meant where it's like, oh God, you didn't get enough school yet. Right, because you're just doing more school.
Yeah, yeah.
You just like created this obligation and this work for yourself by choice.
Right. Because you were saying, oh, I have to do my homework or I didn't do it and you were feeling bad or something about it. Which is where it came from. I think the context is a little bit important.
That's fair, yeah. Like, you weren't just dunking on me for taking a class.
Whoa, loser, doing a little something extra. Poindexter over here.
No, but that's actually what I want to talk about is like, boy, the feeling of just, like, taking a community class where it's, like, you just kind of pay the money and you go to class and it's just for you to do it. It feels so much different than being in college.
It shouldn't.
It does. It feels completely different.
Because that is what college is. Like, it's not like anyone forces you to go to college.
I know. But it feels mostly because, like, most people who are in college, and not everybody, there are adult students and, you know. More power to you. I respect that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, most people who are in college are there straight out of high school.
Yes.
And high school is pretty much compulsory. I mean, it technically isn't, but it basically is.
Right,
right. In terms of how it's viewed.
And in many ways, college is sort of that, too, to some extent.
Yeah, it feels like an extension of that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all of the things that you do for it, whether you get the homework done, how well you do on quizzes, whether you make mistakes, there's so much pressure built up around that. Like, the duty and the pressure to, like, perform and do well. Yeah. And that whole feeling, like, your whole future is built on whether you get this homework question right, is really, like, built into that college experience.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
Yeah, it is. But, like, as an adult, I'm 38 years old now, and I'm taking this class that has like 7 people in it, and it's taught on a Sunday afternoon in a church.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm like this is the first time I think in my whole life that I've been in a class for something, and I've actually felt properly like this class is for me, and the reason why I want to do the homework and I want to go to the class and I want to, you know, do well is not because I'm worried about what grade I'm getting, but it's because I actually want to learn the thing that's being taught.
Yeah.
And it's striking the feeling that, like, it's striking to get that feeling in this class because I realized that I had not gotten that feeling in other classes. In any of the classes that I'd taken, it was always like an obligatory, like, oh, I got to do just enough to perform well so I get the good grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I can graduate. It's all like carrot and stick, right?
Yeah.
And this is the first time I've taken a class for anything where, where I've been like, oh, yeah, I'm here because I want to be and because I'm interested in the thing that I'm learning and I want to keep doing that. And so any of my performance is just like, if I cheat and copy Jesse's homework, then I'm just not getting that work in and I'm not learning. So I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a totally different, feeling. And it kind of like took me back to like, wow, more classes should really feel like this. And it sucks that they don't.
It's pretty much impossible to create that feeling when you're going for it, because there's always going to be the carrot at the end of the stick when you're thinking about a degree.
Yep. It's
like
true.
Regardless of how the courses are designed. So if you're not motivated intrinsically to be part of the class, then the extrinsic reward of getting the piece of paper that says you did the thing is what's going to drive you.
Yep. Because, you know, the whole thing is like, if you don't get the piece of paper that says that you do the thing, then your life is ruined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's over.
19-year-old.
it's all downhill from here.
Yeah. You'll never have any opportunity to pivot or do anything else with your life if you don't succeed right now.
Yeah, it is an interesting thing because we tell people all of the time that, hey, you're 15 years old, you better do well in high school because otherwise your whole life is screwed. But
yeah.
Then at the same time, we tell them stories about how, like, you know, here's a 50-year-old that went back to medical school. Now they're a doctor. Isn't that a great movie?
Yeah.
But not for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Only for them. You need to do your homework immediately.
Yeah. This person
became
a world famous novelist in their late 40s after a career in retail.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
It's weird how we go about it, but it's been really enlightening. Like, the class itself is really good. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the teacher. I like the student, the other students in it. Everyone's there for like different reasons. The age range is like 20 to 45. So like, we got all different kinds of people in there from all different like walks of life, all in there looking for like learning Korean for different reasons.
Sure.
And it's really nice to just be there and have the feeling of like, we're here because that's what we want to do. And we're going to work hard at it, not because there's a carrot at the end of the stick, but because like the act of doing the work and learning the thing is the carrot.
Sure. Yeah.
Like it's not the means to an end.
And of course, with the goal being that you want to have a fluency in the language so then you can live there, visit there, read stuff, engage with the material. So there's still a carrot, but it's just that the act of doing it is also important.
Right, right.
It kind of, it's like when you play a video game that has an end state that you want to get to, mm-hmm. But the whole way is also enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't mind grinding this up to 100% because the grind is fun.
Right, yeah, yeah. That's kind of what it feels like you're saying about this.
Yeah, basically. Different from, like, it was fun up to, like, the 40% point, and now everything is just suffering to get the achievement to pop.
Yeah, yeah. Or, I mean, we play games with a podcast where it's like, God, I don't want to play this anymore.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But I have to, as opposed to being, wow, this is fun the whole way through, and it's, even if it's challenging, yada, yada, yada.
Shoutouts Kickmaster.
Kickmaster, yeah. I enjoyed the first two stages of that.
Yeah, you sure did. That's the correct amount of that game to enjoy. I was at the gym earlier, and like sometimes the podcast that I listen to will end and then one of ours will pop up and I'll listen to it back for a few minutes towards the end of the workout. And Kickmaster came up this morning and I was like, God, that was like 2 weeks ago and I already forgot playing it.
Was it only 2 weeks ago?
It wasn't very long ago. 2 weeks, maybe. It's not more than three.
Wow.
So the podcast released 2 weeks ago today. So we would have played it within the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Deeply forgettable.
Yeah, I don't care about that game at all.
Yeah.
I can't. The tier list of that's going to be, where would I put that game right now? I would put it down somewhere at the bottom. Like, I don't care.
Like,
try it if you want to, I guess.
Don't bother because you literally didn't bother.
That's how I felt, yeah.
Yeah, you got through just, a couple stages and you were like, that's enough.
Yeah, I just didn't care. I did boot it up twice, I suppose.
That's sure, that's fair. But like, I imagine the second one was mostly out of obligation.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was like, well, I want to beat the second stage. And then I beat it and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you probably had the best possible experience with it. Because you played it right up until it started being BS and not any further.
There should be there should be games where when they, you know, they remake old games or whatever, there should be a point where the thing pops up saying the rest of this game is shit. Stop playing.
Yeah. Yeah, I like,
just don't bother anymore. You had fun.
So there's a lot of, like, for all of the gear treadmill games, that moment is the end credits.
Yeah, for you, for sure.
Like Monster Hunter, I got to the end credits and I was like, all right, I am done. Like, me and my rank 5 gear set are done with this game forever.
What's funny about Monster Hunter is usually the first time you roll credits isn't the real credits.
That's probably true too, actually. I think in World, I did get to the new monster, like Xenogeva, I think
like
is his name.
Yeah, the god monster thing.
Yeah. In the crystal
end.
Cave.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was the end of World. I mean, obviously they released a couple of monsters after that, but, you know.
Well, yeah, and then there was the whole expansion, which I didn't touch at all.
Well, the expansion, that doesn't count, because that's a whole new experience. I mean, it counts in terms of the game, I suppose, but if you're just playing World, then I think the end is the crystal dragon thing.
Yeah. You know, speaking of, like, DLCs that release later that are their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Elden Ring is about to get its, like, big expansion that people have been looking forward to. And I just played that game, like, a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think I finished it probably, like, I don't know, 4 to 6 months ago. I don't exactly know when it was that I finished it.
Yeah,
am not excited for Shadow of the Erdtree at all.
Yeah, that just happens sometimes, right? Where you just don't care about the DLC.
Like, it looks like it's going to be really good. So, and, you know, they're saying that it's so big and it's so expansive that it's basically just, like, a full sequel or it's as big as the base game. And I'm like, I don't think I want that.
I think it's funny when things are described this way because it's just sort of a trend. Because could you imagine if the DLC came out, it's like, oh, it's super shit. It's really short. And there's, like, one boss, but it's going to, you know, give us some money.
Yeah.
Like, very few. I don't think all DLCs are like, oh my god, it expands the story so much. It does all. I mean, I'm sure this game is actually going to have a lot to it. I'm not saying that. I just think it's amusing when you think about the words. It was like when, I think I've actually talked about this before, when McDonald's changed their menu. Oh, this was like 25 years ago or something.
Okay.
And they had the Big and Tasty on there.
Yeah.
And they changed it to something else. And I don't remember what the name is now. I don't even know if the sandwich exists anymore. But I remember my mom and I were there, and she's like, oh, what happened to the Big and Tasty? And they're like, oh, now it's called, God, what is the new name? I don't know. And I'm like, okay, what's the difference? And she's like, oh, it has less food. Like, it's smaller, and it costs more. And my mom looked at the cashier being like, I don't think that's how you're supposed to say it. And he laughed. It was like, oh, God, you're right. Because he was just a kid.
Yeah.
And he was being, yeah, it's the same thing. It's just smaller.
It's like, it's the internal conversation that they have with the coworkers,
mm-hmm.
where they talk to management and they're like, what's the difference? And they see that the ingredients are all the same and the price went up by 50 cents.
Yeah, basically that's what it was.
So they're all like, oh yeah, it's basically the Big and Tasty. It's just smaller and costs more. And then, like, that slipped out where it, like, shouldn't have.
Yeah. The DLC should describe themselves like that more often. Just be
what's
honest
the,
with what
what's
it is.
What's the Sonic meme? Like, I want smaller games with worse graphics that come out less often.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not even that. Like, I believe everything that they're saying about it. I believe it's going to be great. I believe it's going to be big and expansive. And I've played with the idea of jumping back into Elden Ring with a randomizer. I've played with the idea of, like, doing another run with, like, a different build and different stats, and I can't bring myself to boot it back up. I feel like I finished that game at a time when I was at my sort of limits of patience with it.
Yeah, plus he was giving you some trouble.
Well, that's not even for a FromSoft game.
I know.
That's part of the good thing.
True.
But
that's true.
Frankly, towards the end of it, I was just like, I'm bored and ready to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for some games, like Sekiro, I'll come back to, like, a couple times a year and just play around in it because I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I don't feel like Elden Ring has that for me. So the fact that it's getting this big, exciting DLC is like, yeah, cool. I bet it'll be good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not going to play it, but I can almost guarantee that I won't get it day one.
I mean, that's not a shock to anybody.
Some things I get day one.
Not for DLC, like...
I mean, to be fair, Elden Ring I didn't play until like 18 months after it released. So yeah, I guess that's not really a surprise.
and you have Unicorn Overload Throw. and there was something else that I feel like you were going to...
Jesse and I are playing Persona 3
in our
own free time.
And you have Dragon Quest 11 to play.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know...
Totally didn't play that for 5 hours and then drop it like a rock.
I didn't... It's not like I spent all those channel points 5 years ago I didn't actually spend channel points. I refreshed the browser page, I think, to vote on whatever it was that you were using to vote with.
Oh, yeah. There was no actual investment. The funny thing is, I think I played almost every single thing on that poll except for Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Which won with like 70% of the vote.
Well, yeah, because it was all me refreshing the page repeatedly because I wanted you to play Dragon Quest.
I was like, this, you know, my opinion on it was like, I don't actually care if people duplicate votes because honestly,
if you take the effort to do it.
Yeah, there's so few people who are going to vote on this. If someone feels strongly enough about something, you should be able to vote multiple times. And also, I'm clearly not bound by the results, so who cares?
You know, you should experience a Dragon Quest game now in honor of Akira Toriyama.
You're right. You're right. Go. Like, I guilt trip you into it. want to play one. I'm kind of interested in the remake of 3 that's supposed to be done in HD 2D, but
man, if that ever actually happens, that would be the one to play, wouldn't it?
They sort of like announced it
I know,
4 years ago and they've said nothing about it since.
I don't know, dude. Square, I feel like I have a sad feeling that Rebirth is not the it's not flying off the shelves. Because they haven't announced how many millions of copies it's sold yet, and it's been like 3 weeks.
That's a good point. By comparison, Atlas and Vanillaware had to apologize for a severe physical copy shortage of Unicorn Overlord in Japan.
I think that's just a marketing strategy, because Square Enix did that
That's true.
Because they did it with Monster or Dragon Quest Monsters. The Dark Prince one in December. They're like, oh, they issued apologies mostly to the Japanese market.
Yeah.
Saying they couldn't make enough physical copies and please buy it digitally.
So many people bought them. I'm so sorry that we only sent 2 copies to every major game store.
I can't believe they sold out.
Wow, it must be so good.
How many copies did you sell? That's not important.
Oh no, all the physical copies are sold out. Now we have to buy the digital ones that give Square like a 15% higher profit margin because there's no physical production that goes into them.
Exactly.
I am still to this day like blown away by the fact that we went full into a digital games market and they did not cut 1 cent off the price.
You're surprised?
I mean... No.
You're not surprised. You just want to pretend like you're surprised. There's nothing surprised. Why would they do that to them? Why would they kneecap themselves? Because then why wouldn't they just, like, everyone's happy paying $60 for a game, which is, like, sweet, making
more
money.
No, I mean, you're right. You're obviously correct. It's one of those things where it just seemed like, oh, you're saving money on not having to produce the discs, not having to ship the discs, not having to pay, like, retailer fees. Like, that seems like so much money savings for you.
Yeah,
will we, the consumer, see? None.
No. Well, and that's supposed to... I mean, so digital games do go on sale, but now digital game is kind of the norm, so they don't go on sale nearly as hard. A lot of times,
it's true.
Until later, until more time has passed.
Steam sales are like shockingly tame these days.
Yeah, I was going to say that because I have one on my wish list that I've been waiting to buy because it used to go on sale for like $1 or $2. And for last year, it hasn't approached anywhere near that amount. Like, what the heck? you're killing me here. I'm not paying more money for this game. It's not going to be a good game. I just want to play it.
Yeah, the era of like the 95% off Steam sale is well and truly dead.
Yeah, I do know that they said that there's like Steam had a thing where games couldn't be less than a dollar or something like that. Which probably got in the way of it. I don't remember why. I mean, I'm sure it's for their own reasons, like because they want to make money. But there was something about
it's like the price it costs us like, man, it costs us like a solid 25 cents to run this transaction.
Right.
And if you're
only
selling
it,
if you're only selling it for like 80 cents, then we're just bare, like we're only making a few cents of profit for nothing. That's not acceptable. You know, I joke about it, but like, and I've said some, you know, I've been pretty critical of Steam in the past, but I gotta admit, I heard just this morning that they are adding a very, very good consumer-friendly feature.
The family, the shared game
stuff?
Yeah,
the family sharing. They've always had library sharing, but it's always been like, oh, you can use someone else's shared library, but if the person you're sharing with is playing any game in their library, you cannot play any other game in their library without kicking them out. Like, only one person can access any game from the library at a time.
Yeah.
So the change that they're making now is, like, if you get people on a family plan, you can actually share the whole library.
Yeah.
And the only thing that you can't do is play the same game at the same time.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So Steam's, or like, Valve is one of those weird companies where, for the most part, I feel like they're, you know, they do well by the consumer.
Yeah.
And then there's some things where you're kind of like, what? What? Why is this happening? But overall, I feel like Valve, you know, they at the very least, they want to be liked. And they want to be, they want to do as, you know, the best as they can while still making an obscene amount of money.
For a company that has the de facto monopoly.
Yes.
On PC game sales.
I mean, it's such a monopoly that a company's investing hundreds of millions of dollars into, like, trying to get people to switch by just dumping free games on them can't even make a dent.
Yeah, they can't make a dent.
Like, Steam's like, whatever.
It's like, they threw hundreds of millions of Fortnite bucks at just any publisher that they could find to give them, like, a few months of exclusivity.
Yeah.
It's like, we will basically pay for the entire production of your game if you just release it on Epic Game Store. Just please throw it in. And it's like, Hades is a great example of this, because Supergiant took that Epic money, and they made Hades, and they put it out in early access on the Epic Game Store, which was the reason why I got it in the first place. And it was out. And it was really good for, like, I want to say 8 to 9 months. And then it was like, we're getting a Steam release. And that was, like, about 2 weeks after the Steam release was the moment when everyone started talking about how good it was.
Yeah.
It was completely silent up to that point, and then it blew up because people actually started playing it.
I mean, there's been games that I wanted to buy, but it was on other platforms. Like, I don't care anymore. And then if it came to Steam, I was like, yeah, okay, I can play it now.
Yep.
It's just so much easier to play games through Steam.
Yeah, and for a company that has held, like, the entire PC gaming market by the balls for, you know, over a decade, it is nice to see that they are actually still doing consumer-friendly things like this rather than just, you know, sitting back and being like, what are you going to do about it? More money for us.
Yeah, I obviously we can't say this with any sort of real, you know, conviction, but I have a feeling that other companies would have gotten screwed over by something like that big game store because they would have buried Steam already.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's Valve for all intents and purposes has done a good job.
Yeah. I like, The track record is not spotless. So, no. Like, let's not pretend that it is. But it has generally been a positive experience.
Yeah. Yeah, me personally, I've never personally had a bad experience with the Valve, except for the time I needed some assistance with my Vive. And the feedback I got was, oh, post a question onto the forums. I was like, that's great.
Like, yeah.
they had nobody helping from Valve.
Yeah.
Like, Steam Valve didn't care. I was like, yeah, let the community solve your problem, which
they did.
Well,
Vive isn't their thing, though.
Sure, but it was bought through them.
Sure.
Like, the original Vive I purchased through their store and everything, right? And they were promoting it.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
But I understand them not being, like, equipped for troubleshooting when they didn't actually produce the hardware themselves.
Yeah, it's, Valve is a... But they still have really awesome, like, you know, you can return a game after 2 hours. Holy
yeah.
crap.
Yeah, the That's return policy is cool good. Policy. The family sharing was good, is now better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's been pretty good. They are a little slow on, like, content moderation. Like, sure. I don't know how they keep approving, like, school shooter simulator and games
well,
like
just
that.
Hands-off. Hands-off
yeah,
policy.
Yeah,
because
they
whatever.
Just don't, yeah. And I think that they should be a little more responsible for, like, curation, but I also understand that people are dumping thousands of games on Steam every day, and that's impossible.
Right, yeah.
To, like, for a human to go through.
Right.
So, I get it. This particular Steam thing is really good, because I'll tell you, like, when Jesse and I started playing Balatro, she just bought a second copy of Balatro because I was playing Like a Dragon on stream and she couldn't play Balatro out of my library because it would have kicked me out of the game.
I mean,
so that was part
both...
of, well, now it's like we're both playing at the same time. So the second copy came in handy, but we probably would have bought it anyway. But I'm just saying, like, that's an example of something that was a problem just a few weeks ago that would not be a problem now.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. You know what else I bought on Steam?
Mega Man?
Mega Man Legacy Collection.
Mm. You're one of the 4% that have completed Mega Man 6.
I have the exact numbers. I'll have you know, 7.3% of players unmasked Mr. X and completed Mega Man 6.
No, 99% of players unmasked Mr. X, but they actually did it in-game.
Anyone who ever saw Mr. X one time unmasked him immediately.
I'm giving the 1%, because I am sure there are some people that were genuinely surprised.
Yes.
There is at least one or two people out there that's like, whoa.
Someone argues very passionately that, like, they're not the same person. This one has a mole on his head.
and he's wearing a different kind of cape.
Yeah, it's and not... he has glasses. It's literally the, like, it is literally the, like, glasses, nose, and mustache disguise, and almost nothing else. It's literally that. So 7.3% completed Mega Man 6, 5.8% have actually beaten all six.
Ah, okay, so there's a thing for doing all six of them.
Yes.
That makes sense.
It does. But yeah, diminishing returns, because, like... 14.5% beat 1, 14.5% beat 2, 9.9% beat 3, 8.5% beat 4, 7.7% beat 5, and 7.3% beat 6, and 5.8% have beaten all of them. So essentially, there are so many copies of this collection out in the wild on Steam. That, like, not even 15% of players have beaten one game.
The achievement statistics are startling sometimes, because there was one for Rebirth that's, like, win a battle, which, you know, you do in the first couple minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And something like only 90% of people had done that, which means that 10% of people opened the game, started
right.
it, and mm-hmm. then closed it immediately.
Which I think is a fairly common experience to have with Mega Man, because I've done that before.
Yeah, me too. Whenever I played Mega Man as a young boy on the computer with my legitimate copies of the game,
mm-hmm.
I pretty much tried out some of the stages, beat one or two bosses, then just closed the ROM.
Absolutely.
Or, I'm sorry, turn the system off.
Or turn the system off. Press the power button.
Yeah.
And that ended was it. The play session. Put down your first party NES controller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I remember when I imported, not imported, I don't know if it's an import or not, I technically bought it off of like a PlayAsia when PlayAsia was very, very new.
Yes.
And it was an adapter where you could plug in either a Nintendo 64 controller, a Super Nintendo controller, or I want to say Genesis controller.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is awesome because I could use the real controllers while playing on the computer. I thought that was super fun. I then almost didn't use it at all.
My
it was cool.
My brother, in all of his, like, you know, weird engineering genius, mm-hmm. as like a 10 or 11 year old, found some schematics online and built a Super Nintendo controller adapter that works with a parallel port.
I think you told me this actually when we were talking about it was like Illusion of Gaia or one of those games, and it was like when we were first talking about emulating and playing games as kids on the computer. That's just insane to be able to do that.
Yeah, like so a lot of the SNES games that I played on the computer, I was playing with my original SNES controller.
It's so cool.
It was really cool.
I just want to say, we started talking about Balatro, and Jesse booted it up.
Yep. I can hear her playing in the other room right now. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to go ask how her run is going. She's been doing, like, some of the higher stakes. Like, mm-hmm. she's into, like, blue stake and purple stake, where they start, like, taking discards and stuff away from you.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems really tough. I'm going through more flat, where I'm trying to do, like, every deck on one difficulty level and then going up a difficulty level and then doing every deck and then going
That's
up
what
again.
I was. Yeah, I got through like 6 or 7 decks and then I took a break because other games came out and I haven't gone back to play it. And I'm nervous if I boot it up again, I won't finish with the other stuff that I'm playing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, I have 109 hours into it, although to be fair, that number is no longer accurate because I accidentally left it open overnight.
Yeah,
the other day. So like there's like 9 or 10 hours on it that are like just sitting idle on the title screen, but you know, it's like a 100-hour game for me at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time. So Mega Man 6.
Mega Man 6 is dope as hell.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard bad things about this game.
They're wrong.
I think Mega Man 6 is really fun.
Is it
easy? Yes.
It is
absolutely
easy.
I think it might be the easiest of the NES Mega Man games.
I think that's very possible.
But I liked it. I mean, I don't mind it. I guess I'm not the best judge of what's fun in terms of difficulty, if that's your thing. But I really enjoyed playing this game a lot. And I had a lot of fun with the Rush adapters.
Yeah.
I liked the jetpack a lot. And the punching thing was silly, but it made me smile when I got it, which is like, okay, well, that's more than the Rush powers have done in a lot of games.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like the Rush powers in a lot of games are meant for you to get through a very specific room in the Wily stages.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you run out of power and it's stupid. And this one, you have infinite power. It just reaches sets. Like,
that's such a good change. It completely changes the whole dynamic of those powers.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because we've been playing the Game Boy games or what, and this is just a better experience. Because all the Game Boy games boil down to, wow, it almost feels like you're playing an NES game. Which
yeah, it's, it's almost not worse than every other NES experience you've had. That's right. That's like the height of like what the Game Boy experiences have gotten to. It's like almost doesn't suck worse than Mega Man 1.
Right. And so I don't know if that's why this felt good and I was just because I was kind of down. I had fun playing Mega Man 5. I like that one, but then we played the other Mega Man 3 and 4, whatever. I don't remember the order anymore.
We did 3 and 4 for Game Boy in a row, and I think that got us both like, man, this kind of is starting to suck.
But this was fun. I had a lot of fun with this game. The powers were interesting. The stages were cool. Like, so there's some problematic theming, which we can talk about.
Yeah.
But like it was when you were streaming and you were talking about the like characters and stereotypes and things being bad. And I said something along the lines of just because it's an iconic culture doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. Right. Because like is Lily Hawk should she not be wearing a poncho? Like, does
right.
that make it offensive because she's wearing a poncho, right? Now, of course, Tomahawk Man and Flame Man are interesting, well, maybe bad choices, because specifically the headdress, the war bonnet that Tomahawk Man is wearing is A, not something that every single indigenous tribe used, and B, it was more of a, like, I believe it was a ceremony and religious thing, and we just kind of turned it into a, this is their war clothing.
Yeah, that's just what they look like.
Right, so that's problematic, and then you look at the turban, and then that's kind of confusing, because it's like, well, where are you trying to say this person is from? Because the idea is that all these robots are from different parts of the world, which in theory is why you stereotypes sort of fit, because
right.
Then you can say, oh, okay, this person's from this place, or this robot, I mean.
Yeah, and they generally do an okay job of that. Like, you have Yamato Man from Japan. You have Nightman, who is presumably, like, from Europe.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You have
I think Windman is actually supposed to represent China?
Sure. The elemental ones get a little more funky.
Because, yeah,
like,
don't know.
I imagine Blizzard Man, like, you could argue, what, Russia?
Yeah, or just any, yeah.
Canada? Canada doesn't often get representation in these games, so.
I think they just dump Canada together with America.
They kind of do.
Which
they
was Tomahawk Man.
Yeah.
Because, like, at least it's the Tomahawk Man's the robot master, and then his minions are the cowboys.
Which is a weird dynamic.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that's because they're going for that Western feel, and
the
cowboy robots are actually kind of cool. And it's
kinda,
of course,
yeah.
Like when you put it in the frame of 1994, it stings a little less, but it almost needs to come with like the Disney disclaimer of, hey, there's some racist shit in this, and you should be aware of it.
Yeah. This is a product of its time. We don't stand by this representation now, but we don't want to pretend it never happened.
Yeah, you because
know,
like,
take
so
this with a grain of salt.
If you took Tomahawk Man and removed his war bonnet and actually gave him a tomahawk instead of like a Viking battle axe, because that's kind of a little bit of an oversight there, then it wouldn't be so bad, right? Like it wouldn't feel as uncomfortable. It's using
it's a stereotypical and inaccurate depiction.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And of and that then, culture.
And same with like Flame Man. Like, sure, the turban, you're trying to represent that huge part of the planet, I suppose. Fine. You give him the pointy shoes. You're like, it's hot, so he's fire. But then you get to the stage. It's like, okay, it's all oil themed.
Yeah. Nah. There's like sand dunes in the background, and there's oil everywhere.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the oil is used really well, really well, because there are little like you can walk through it, but it slows you down. And then there are little things that will drop fire and it lights the oil on fire, and then it becomes a fire pit. And that's really dope.
Yeah, it is. And then you're thinking, well, man, this just those two character designs just, you know, they haven't aged all that well.
Yeah. you go through the sand and oil stage and you fight Flame Man with a turban. And it's like, this is honestly like really reductive of an entire part of the world.
Yeah. Well, and then the pointed
genie shoes
really, really send it home.
They
and he's
really
got like
do.
The little mustache. Like, I mean, Okay, I realize that children submitted these designs, but somebody at
that
Capcom
is
could have been like, you know, maybe we don't do this exactly like
and
this.
I was watching who submitted which designs, and I was like, okay, so the Native American design came from Japan.
Yeah, every
And
everyone.
Quite frankly, in the 90s in America, I was still being taught in school that that's what Native Americans look like, and also they said they were Indians.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we were, you know, it was commonplace to think that all Native Americans wore those headdresses.
Yeah, and they just danced around a fire and did woo-woo-woo-woo-woo by, yeah, like, over their mouth, which is
God.
Just
even you God. Doing that, even you doing that as just, like, as a representation, I had a moment of, wow, I'm uncomfortable. You know,
yeah, no, it feels bad.
There was, I was talking to Kyle the other day about, so you remember the movie Legally Blonde?
Yes.
There's a throwaway line in it where I didn't think this, I don't remember what I was reading, but it said like this line was in. I was like, no, I don't believe it. So I looked it up on HBO Max because it's their first stream. I guess it's just called Max now. It's not HBO
it's
anymore.
It's just
okay?
Max.
And
not
so
to be confused with Cinemax.
Or Skinemax at night.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's a part in the movie where it's just a throwaway line where one character says to the other one, well, that's because men are all big, fat R words. And it's just like,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they just say it, and then the next thing happens. Like, no one reacts to it. There's nothing there. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, this is from 2000 for sure.
Yeah, 20, 25 years ago, that word was just used.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. It's something that I would use to describe something as being dumb or like, I don't like that.
I've absolutely done it. Much in the same way as with, like, you know, stereotypical and reductive representations of social groups. That's something I had to unlearn later in life.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's like I can't even say the, like, it's a word that, like, oh, I feel, I don't want to say it. Like,
yeah.
It's just not part of my vernacular anymore.
Yeah, no, you remove it and you're like, now it's the R word or the R slur.
Yeah, and to hear them say it in the movie, like, whoa, what? What did they say?
Yeah, no, it's wild. Like, I used to watch Friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, Friends as a social relic is one of the most poorly aged, like, pieces of media from the mid-90s.
I feel like that's probably just true with everything. Because every, when, you know, if we go back and watch the majority of things that are like that, there's going to be moments where you're like, no way was that just said.
There's definitely moments of it in, like... But I look back at, like, I wonder if, like, Seinfeld has aged that poorly.
Yeah, Seinfeld has some really... So Seinfeld's stuff that aged more poorly in Seinfeld is the depiction of women.
And, yeah. And
thinking about how... Not always. There are some things that have aged very well, right? Like,
yeah.
there are... Or that are okay to still... It's they're still funny. But I think that's... It's just kind of true in any sort of sitcom that was popular. Like, if you go back and watch even The Office, which is only, what, 15 years old now?
I mean, yeah,
15 years, God. That's going to have stuff in it for sure. But there's moments in Seinfeld. I'm like, oh, that's not funny. The punchline is that she's overweight.
Yeah. No, that's an easy one.
Right.
Like they all go for that low hanging fruit.
And of course it's said in it's, they're supposed to all be shitty people. So like it's kind of part of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's part of the deal too. But like in Friends, these are people you're supposed to like.
Yeah. Friends is a little more offensive when you think about it.
People like, they really treat people like garbage for like reasons that are not good to treat people like garbage.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Their voice is annoying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That is, I mean, that's a punchline for the one character throughout the whole series, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, she's a recurring character. She's one of the character's ex-girlfriends.
Yeah,
and every time she shows up, you hear their voice and they're like, oh no, God, she's here. But the thing is, she's always super nice to everybody. It's just she has like a high nasally Fran Drescher voice and everyone's like, oh God, no.
Right,
she's so
really,
terrible.
This really nice, wonderful person is the worst.
Yeah.
So... Back to Mega Man 6.
So, aside from all of the appropriation and stereotyping, maybe the best overall actual artistic designs of Robot Masters in the whole series so far.
Shit, they're good, right?
They're really good.
Like, I like all of the designs, minus what we've already talked about,
like,
of the Robot Masters.
I'll put myself out there and say that, like, if you put aside the, like, sociocultural context...
Yes.
They're still actual good designs.
Yeah, like Tom Hawk Man looks cool.
he actually looks cool. Like,
so does Flame Man, especially there's some art where he's got his fist in the ground and he's kind of doing like, you know, that, you know, the superhero punch where they land from a high thing. And
Yeah.
Like there's some really cool artwork with him and stuff.
And I think that's doing like the fire wave,
yeah.
Like ground wave thing.
Yeah. That's oh, God, you're right. That's what it is. Oh, of course. That's what it is. Yeah.
Which is super dope. I just like, I would make some, you know, like contextual changes to the design, but like overall, they look great.
Yeah, and they had some.
Plant Man is amazing.
Dude, the Plant Man music is good too.
Yeah, that's true.
That stage, I like, but the design of the bosses are all fun. The actual fights aren't. They're okay. They're not scary, I suppose. So I liked them, but I can see where people would be like upset about it.
Yeah, I had an easier time puzzling out the boss weaknesses in this one, oddly enough.
Yeah. Yes.
Aside from being confused because I was like, Plant Man will be weak to fire. And I was like, no.
Yeah,
Plant Man
was
weak to ice. That one also makes sense. It's just it doesn't follow Pokemon logic. So
no. Well, I mean, to be fair, grass is just weak to both.
That's true.
So it follows it, but only partially.
Yeah.
And I knew that it, usually they don't have like double true weaknesses in the game. And right. I already knew that fire was good for the most adorable robot master ever, Blizzard Man.
Oh my God, I love Blizzard Man. I love Blizzard Man. He looks like a metal snowman on skis, and he's the best.
He's just so... I feel like the dude is just happy.
He seems really happy. Like even does a little ski dance where he like shifts his skis back and forth.
Yeah, like you know this robot master was designed not to really participate in the world first annual robot tournament to fight. It was like, oh, it's a sporting event.
Yeah, right?
Because how else would Blizzard Man even make sense?
Like, it's not battle bots. I'm out here to win the slalom.
Yeah, right. I hope they reuse Blizzard Man later on, but I bet they don't.
I will say that this game did a great job of reversing the trend in Mega Man 5 of all of the boss weapons suck because the Buster's too strong.
God, that's so true.
Like, but in the sense that, like, the Buster is still useful. Good. Yeah. It's still good, but the boss weapons are better.
Mm-hmm. The boss weapons are better, and the boss weapons all felt interesting for them, except for, I mean, Blizzard Man's weapon kind of sucked. It was okay.
It did. So did Plant Man's.
But that's barrier, just shield or whatever.
Yeah, barrier shield weapons stay losing.
God, get out of my Mega
they
Man games.
They all suck.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
Like, that. I forget who's weak to, like, which one is weak to Plant Man?
Plant Man, is it?
I don't remember, but I remember that that fight is one of the most difficult ones.
I think it's Tomahawk Man.
That might be it. It's like one, yeah. Yeah, it is, because I lost against him. I lost against him a bunch of times because the thing that melts him is the worst thing to use.
Yeah, right.
It's so like, hey, do you like the leaf barrier shield from Mega Man 2?
No.
No, it sucked. Let's make it worse. Now it now you can't throw it.
You can't even throw it. God, it's useless. You know, Centaur Man looked really cool.
Centaur Man, I talked about this at the end of the stream.
Yeah.
I love so many robot masters are just humanoid robot, but you make them a little bit round and you give them some weird thing on their head.
Yeah, you got to make them a little thick.
Yeah, you got to make them a little thick. And then like Duskman has a little vacuum intake thing. Yeah. Or like whatever. They got a little thing on their head or on their hands.
Windman is representative of most robot masters. Where it's just like a bulky version of...
Yeah, and he's got like shoulder pads.
Yeah.
With a thing on them.
Yes.
Chris,
yeah.
Like, I don't want to call these two out in particular, but I was so excited to see what Yusuke Murata had designed for the game in 4 and 5. And it's Duskman and Crystal Man. And like, okay, I understand that he was like 12 or 13 when he sent those in.
Yes.
Those designs suck. Both of them. Crystal Man is like barely even a thing. He's just a regular robot design, but he has some shiny baubles.
Here, you know what's kind of fun is on the Mega Man wiki, they have the original submission artwork for a lot of the characters, and there's Crystal Man's submission. And I love that he even has like, here's how his moves and stuff could work.
Oh, that's like, fun.
Isn't that cool? It wasn't just a drawing of the...
Yeah, it was like a full, like, fleshed out idea of, like, what they do.
Yeah, because here's Windman. That's, like, what I would expect, where it's just, here's a drawing of a robot. But Yusuke Murata's like, no, hold on, let me storyboard this son of a bitch.
Yeah. So here's the problem that I have with the robot masters in this. We have a Plant Man. He essentially, the power you get from him is the same as Woodman's, but worse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a Plant Man and a Woodman.
Sure, yep.
There is a Flame Man in this one, not to be confused with Fire Man.
Mm-mm, no.
There is a Blizzard Man, not to be confused with Ice Man.
Yep.
There is an Air Man, not to be confused with Wind Man. Or sorry, there's a Wind Man, not to be confused with Air Man.
Yes.
And I asked in chat during the game, someone is going to have to explain to me the difference between Airman and Windman.
Yeah.
And I believe it was Ellipsis who said, wind is defined as the movement of air, which is what Airman does. Airman makes wind. That's why he's Windman. I hope this is helpful.
I am sure this will happen later where we'll get like, what was this? We have Blizzard Man, so we'll probably end up with like, I don't know, Snowman or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm sure that we're going to get some kind of like Iceman or, and we know in one of the later X game, there's definitely another fire guy.
There is a fire guy in X1 and probably in X2 as well.
Yeah, well, and
but also X8, which is the one you're referring to.
Also what started this whole thing.
We should just, like, the next one on the docket is X, and we should just play X8.
No.
Now is the time.
This is building up, okay? We're building up to the moment.
You know,
so that
honestly,
way it won't be as exciting when we get there, because it's going to have been, like, 2 years, and I'm like, yeah, I don't care anymore.
I was going through, like, the next, like, 6 or 7. Because yeah. I looked back and I realized, I looked at what was in the X Legacy Collection.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's X through X4. And I was like, I've played X4. And I looked back, I was like, yeah, I played it on PlayStation. I like took it off the shelf and played it for a bit. And that was really cool. And then I looked at how far away we were from X4. And I'm like, not as far as I thought, actually. Considering we're going to be like we're going to be kind of skipping past some of the, you know, more obscure stuff.
Yeah, it depends on if we end up doing the two fighting games, because we could do that as one combo stream or something like that.
I think that's fair. We can combine some. Ellipsis suggested that we do Wily Wars like out of order.
You know, I have to say, I am curious because I had so much fun playing 6. I kind of want to see what it's like to play Wily Wars to see if it's okay. So. Nobody says that 4, 5, or 6 of the Mega Man games are special. Nobody cares.
Sure.
Like, for the, I mean, that's not true, obviously.
Yeah, but, I know what you mean.
But most people, everyone's like, oh, 2's the greatest one ever. And then people are like, oh, I like 3. Or I like the original because it's the original, right?
Right.
So I'm kind of curious to go back and play them now while 6 is fresh in my memory. So I'm not opposed to playing Wily Wars. I'm really not. Okay. I was just so down because of Game Boy. The Game Boy games are just a drag.
Well, here's the reason why I said, like, maybe we'll skip Wily Wars is because you say that, like, the Game Boy games bring you down and schedule, like, release order-wise, Wily Wars comes right after 5.
It is on the Genesis, so it might be spiced up a bit in terms of, like, the way it feels to play. I don't know.
Oh, it's supposed to.
We'll see.
It's supposed to be modernized, and I'm curious to see how.
Because I definitely want to play Wily Wars. I mean, hell, I want to even kind of play the Game Gear game, because I'm sure it's a mess.
Yeah, probably. I'm just impressed that we're as, like, we actually go through the X games pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And especially considering, like, some of these will probably cut out or combined. Like, I don't know what Wily and Right No Rock Board is, but we're probably not playing that.
The Power Battle, is that the fighting one?
So the Power Battle is the fighting one, and then Mega Man 2, the Power Fighters, is the other fighting one.
Oh, yeah, of course. Obviously, Mega Man 2.
Yes. Let's just call it Mega Man 2. This is fine.
By the way, the music in Mega Man 6, I liked it a lot.
Really good. Really good. I have very, very few complaints about this game. I mean, aside from the, like, just completely brain dead, like, no, it is I, Mr. X. I mean, was manipulating that fool, Dr. Wily, to do my bidding. Now let me do the same thing. It's just, I'm so...
Poor Dr. Wily.
What is the plan? Where you're like, Dr. Wily was innocent the whole time. And you're trying to draw the attention off of Wily, but then it's like, now it is me, Mr. X. I am doing the same thing as Dr. Wily, and when you come find me, I will reveal my identity.
I will give him props for starting the first annual robot tournament, though, because he's like, well, I'm just dog shit at designing robots. So let's see if other people around the world can design robots, and then I'll just take them over. Like, he's at least thinking outside the box a little bit.
That is true. I wish we had, like, I wish that the tournament had been addressed more than not at all.
Well, here, check this out. You'll appreciate. Tell me this is not some Dragon Ball. It's the tournament arc time.
I wanted this.
Isn't that awesome?
That's so good. Man. That little manga page. And everyone's lined up, and it looks like the World Martial Arts Tournament.
Yeah. And Plant Man's giving the peace sign.
He's doing the V for victory.
I love it. He looks so good.
Plant Man is awesome.
Yeah, Plant Man really is cool. And the color scheme, I mean, obviously not in that because it's black and white, but in the actual game, Plant Man's really awesome.
And like I started talking about this before where it's like all of the, like, the powers are good, but like almost all of them are derivative of powers that have already existed.
Yeah, so that could be a big complaint where you want all brand new stuff and there's that. And like I said, it's a bit easier for sure. So if the challenge is what gets you excited about it, then that's not as interesting.
Right, right. Centaur Man, I started saying earlier, so many Robot Master designs are just like bipedal humanoid robot with a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool to have one that's like actually kind of, you know, a centaur, like a horse, like a four-legged robot master. That's super cool.
And they're like,
why
what's
is he
power?
Flashman?
What's his power? Oh, Flashman. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Why is he just Flashman?
So you can, this game wasn't even going to be released or published in the US. And for whatever reason, Nintendo was like, well, we'll publish it. So there's two different versions of the box art. One where the Nintendo's on, like, as the forefront, and one where Capcom is.
Because
Capcom was like, yeah, we're not going to even bring it to America. No one cares. Technically, in America, X was already released when this came out.
I was going to say, they're really close to each other.
Yeah, X came out in January of 94, and this was, I think, a couple months later, like 2 months later. And so they weren't even going to release it. Nintendo's like, oh, here, hang on. We'll do the thing that makes no sense and put this out on the NES for you, which I'm happy they did. It's, you know.
Really good.
I liked it. Now, I can't say I would have been as excited to play it after having played X. I don't know.
Probably not.
I guess it depends on how much of a Mega Man fan you are, because then you don't mind. It's like, so that's not really a fair comparison, because it's like saying, oh man, I can't imagine going back to play Final Fantasy 1 after having played Final Fantasy 7 or 6
sure,
or something.
Sure, sure. You can't like predict how you would have felt at the time. It's also like, it came out early 94. That is a solid like 3 years into the Super Nintendo's life cycle.
Yeah, I mean,
West.
Dude, at that point, your system is older than the Switch.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of how many years you would have had the NES sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, like,
Excuse me.
The sort of, like, console generation skip has well and truly happened at this point. Like, anything comes out post, like, 1991 for the NES is like, oh, why were you even still trying?
I mean, to put it into perspective, I think Super Metroid comes out, like, a month later.
Yep, I was gonna say, Super Metroid is out in 94.
Yeah, yeah, that's... I looked
so
up,
it,
yeah,
you're
yeah,
up
day,
against
yeah, April,
that.
April 18th, and then Mega Man 6 was... I don't even know. Hang
like,
on.
94, 95 is considered, like, approaching the later end of the life cycle of the Super Nintendo.
Almost exactly a month after Mega Man 6 is released, the freaking, one of, like, the greatest, you know, Metroid game of all time, this genre-defining experience was released that's still relevant 30 years later.
Also featuring a protagonist with an arm cannon.
True. True.
Like, that's not fair. And like, it's, in true Mega Man fashion, 6 had to compete with itself.
Yeah, I mean,
because X came out like a month apart. 4 for Game, like, okay, so I'm pretty sure these are Japanese release dates, but 4 for Game Boy, 6 for NES, and X for Super Nintendo came out within a 6 week span.
Yeah, it's all like November, December of 93.
Yeah,
was
it's
just
October
dumping Mega Mans.
October 29th, November, October 29th for Mega Man 4 on Game Boy. A week later, November 5th for Mega Man 6. And then like 5 weeks after that, Mega Man X on December 17th.
Dude, there's some Mega Man fans that were just over the moon happy.
I bet there were some Mega Man fans who didn't have $200 to drop on Mega Man games that year.
Month. Okay. I'm just living in the fantasy of being excited about all the games, all right?
I know. I'm just saying. Like, it is absolutely cannibalizing your own brand to just stack them all up like that.
Yeah. Capcom's like, huh, I wonder why these aren't selling well. Actually, obviously they sold just fine because Mega Man's still...
Oh, well, yeah, they did all right. It's kind of dead now, but that's their fault.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I have no problem with, like, flooding the zone. These games are small. You can go through them in a couple of months. But, like, put three... If you got three or four games coming out that year, put them 3 or 4 months apart.
You know, true. I gotta say, Mega Man 6 box art is a great box art to represent the game.
Which box art?
Just, I don't know, the US one. The one where he's just like flying into he's got his cool jetpack and he's like storming off into the sky. It feels like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. With the rush jet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very surprised that I unlocked Rush Jet, and I was like, oh, yeah, Rush is going to turn into a platform, and he's going to... And then, like, plays the whole animation, and it's like, you've got a shoulder-pack jetpack now. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's why I wanted you to do Plant Man stage, or Flame Man. I think Plant Man is what unlocked
and
that adaptation.
There's a bunch of stuff, especially in the later... Well, later stages in terms of the order that I played them. Because there's like 4 elemental robot masters, and then there's 4, like, I'm going to say cultural robot masters. And it's very obviously clear cultural. That you're meant to do the elemental ones first. It's probably the clearest, like, intended boss order that I've ever seen. Because there's a bunch of, like, secret stuff that you can get in some of the stages with the power suit and the jet suit.
I think it's cool that a lot of the stages have alternate pathing.
Yeah.
Like, most of the stages, like, in Wily's Castle, and then the second half of all of the first 4 Robot Masters all have it, where you get the beat letters from and stuff. I think that's really neat that they added alternate pathing.
Yeah.
Also,
it's
trash in this game. It can't even hit bosses.
Awesome. I'm glad I didn't bother.
I was hoping you would bother and then try to use and be like, why isn't this working? Because I was like, what, is there something wrong with the emulation? Because Beat wasn't attacking the boss when the first time I used it. And I was like, what the hell? So I looked it up. It's like, oh yeah, Beat doesn't hit bosses. And I'm like, what's the point?
Like, why do you even have him?
I mean, I guess it's good for clearing out some of the trickier jumping sections and stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And it does, like, even though I generally think that the game is easier, like, some of the platforming sections are fairly tough.
Yeah, they had a few good moments.
And what's cool about it is that the introduction of Rush Jet that has a recharging energy bar, so you don't have to just use it twice and then not use it the rest of the stage because you have to, like, fill your power back up, is awesome. That changes the whole dynamic of what you can do with the stage design.
Yeah.
You don't have any more Mega Man 2 Wily 1 where you have to make platforms, and if you miss the jump, you have to sit down there and grind for power drops for 5 minutes before attempting it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, you just have that power, and the game knows that you have that power, so it can design around that.
And I think the stage design in many cases was nice because when they were introducing a new element in the game, they gave you a little test, you know, no low stakes. Hey, yep. These platforms move in a certain way when you jump on them, mm-hmm. or there's a pit below you, that kind of stuff. Here's what it will look like. And then they introduce it right afterwards, like, oh, I like that game design.
Yeah. Mega Man X does a lot of that, so you can tell that they were, like, sort of being developed around the same time with the same things in mind.
Yeah, I mean, they were definitely, I don't know if it's the same people involved in both games.
Probably not
into.
With them releasing a week apart. I doubt they were working on both games simultaneously.
Right, that's what I was going to say, is that it's clear that the games were being talked about in the company as
yes.
a whole.
Yes, like, the concepts, in the Mega Man squad. The concepts were, you know, common throughout Capcom.
Yeah.
It was like, here's how we design this. Like, introduce it in low stakes, then start dropping the challenges in.
And yeah, some designer at Capcom was like, okay, but I need my blind pits into spikes. And they're
yes.
like, fine, you can have your blind pits into spikes.
Yeah, they're like one of the Mr. X stages.
Yeah,
is hot garbage.
It's just like, hey, here's 6 screen transitions with spikes underneath. Good luck.
Or you have to be in a very specific place to like Battletoads your way through it.
I like, there was one that had one of those platforms that when you jump on it, it then flips to the other side.
Oh, yeah.
But it's facing the wrong way for it to be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, why would you be holding to the left? Maybe you would be, I don't know. But it felt like it should have been flipped the other way.
Yeah.
But that was, God.
It's like holding out the tree branch to save you, but, like, holding it out too high. Yeah. So you can't reach it.
Oh, no, you didn't make it. Yeah,
and it just confuses you because you have, like, a split second to react to it. And then you just, like, potentially will, like, fall past it. Because you're going towards the gap, and then you're like, oh, maybe I should hit the platform, and you end up in between them.
The first time I did the stage, I saw it, and I would have actually gone into the pit, but I saw the platform, so I steered toward the platform, and then I just hit the spike in between the platform and the pit.
There you go.
Well, that was brilliant, Tom.
Yeah.
So I rewound time.
Awesome.
Like, I don't care. You know what? I'm rewinding time for sure.
Yep. Yep. No, like... You can tell that the game's meant to be easier because I took an alternate path and I broke a block and it hid 4 1-ups.
Yeah, absolutely. They were like, let's just, you know what it really did feel like? They're like, hey, this is the last game for the NES.
Yeah.
Let's just finish it.
Like,
have some fun with the game. Enjoy the new designs and powers and stuff. And, you know, Mr. X is definitely not Dr. Wily at all. They put him in prison.
They did. I'm sure he'll stay there.
Don't we fight like Sigma now or something?
Well, yeah, but X is like thousands of years in the future. Yeah,
I forgot. I keep hearing that the fighters have have lore attached to them.
Like, yeah, that's my understanding as well.
What does that mean?
I don't know. We'll find out in a few months, I guess.
Probably. Or we won't.
Or we won't. I bet we will, and we won't understand what we read.
Now I'm thinking we will because we're going to play soccer. So if we're playing soccer, I feel like we have to play the fighter games.
Oh, yeah, no. I don't mean that we're not going to play the fighting games. We're totally going to. Oh. What I'm saying is playing the fighting games and seeing the lore does not necessarily mean that we will know the lore.
Do you think Quint is in the fighting games?
He better be. We'll be right back.